League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Still 2 hours of the big show. It is Barry, Nick, Joel on a Monday in the big city, right here on the Usual Suspects in the Gal Media Studios in the Galleria area. We were kicking around some rockets after Farmer Bill over here.
Got a few texts in. NASCAR Giant says, I'm at home with a sick two-year-old, and that story of you getting stuck in the mud had me laugh, made my day. If I still lived in the area, I would have come and helped you out. I appreciate that, NASCAR Johnny. Thank you.
Very nice.
If you missed the story, I don't know if it's worth it, but go back to the 1 o'clock hour. I hope it was worth it.
ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab.
Yeah.
Catch up on the hours you missed. And while you're there, download the app. Then you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and never podcast. Miss a thing.
Somebody said, finally back with The Usual Suspects after last week. My partner, I was with, played country music the whole damn week. Sorry to hear about that.
Wow.
That's never good. Since it sounds like this may be an ongoing problem, Barry, you can pick up a small winch from, I'm not going to give their name, for about $100. Find a local fab shop and have it mounted to your mower, which you can winch yourself out next time. Now, that is something I looked for. Does John Deere make an attachable winch or whatnot? And I didn't find one. I just don't know if I want the extra weight on the mower.
But if your mower's stuck and you're using the winch on the mower to unstick your mower?
Yeah. Well, then I could just hook it to like something and pull it out that way. But I want to tell you guys how great your show is. I was listening to a morning show on another station the other day. Not my fault. Mm-hmm. And it was terrible. They were talking over each other and their guests the entire time, and no one could get a word out. I appreciate how organized and professional you guys are, even more now than I did before. Well, thank you very much.
That's very nice.
I was talking, Joel. Let's
I know. Shut up.
Just kidding. See how that works, sir and or ma'am? You just think we have our stuff together.
Nick, what do you think?
No idea.
So we're back. We got some Rockets calls lining up, fellas.
Yeah, we do.
So let's work them in. You go pick them, Barry.
Let's talk championship with Mike. Mike, what's up, man? You want to talk Rockets?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Okay, I'm the biggest Rockets fan, so you can ask me anything. I know everything.
Oh, but really?
That's here and there. Yes, biggest.
Right. What city? I'm going to ask you a question. Okay. Mike, if you get this wrong, we're hanging up on you.
Okay.
All right, what city were they in before they became the Houston Rockets?
San Diego.
All right, you can go. Go ahead.
Like, I got two bricks outside Toyota Center with my family.
Okay, there you go. Go ahead.
Okay, so I heard you guys talking about we need another wing. I disagree. I think we're good with Hoss. I've been saying all along, I think we need another big. A legit 7-footer that can back up Clint, because I always thought Fareed was better as a 4 other than a 5. Because I think when we go against teams in the playoffs that has bigs, like a Boogie Cousins, even though he's not the same what he is right now, but the West has a bunch of good bigs, and Clint could get into foul trouble. If we just had another body that we could throw, because at the beginning of the season, too, I always thought even our defensive woes came from us not being able to rebound because we were just too short of a team. And the reason why I always thought it was so – that the reason was so important because he actually rebounded pretty good at his position because he had a 7-foot wingspan.
No, you know what, Mike? I tend to agree. I said just work out whatever your differences are with House. But if you added a Robin Lopez, if you added a Gortat – Because here's the thing. What you're asking for is exactly what Nene used to be, but because of two straight playoff runs where you didn't have the guy that you nursed along all season to be there for that very thing, you need to have some kind of insurance policy, and that would come in the form of two guys that are still rumored to be bought out, and that's Gortat and Robin Lopez. And oh, by the way, sometimes the best defense is the best offense when you're talking about buyouts. If Lopez doesn't go to you, he's going to the Warriors, and you don't want that either. So it's kind of like, you can combat that if that happens, but I can see adding another big just simply because you can't trust the health of Nene.
You think the Warriors add him with Cousins and Looney?
Oh yeah, and they've already said that. Yeah, they said they have mutual interest, but that's before the Bulls kind of started to play better basketball, and so now they're tabling it for now. But if either one of those two guys are bought out, Rockets would have a good shot at Gortat. But Lopez has his eyes set on, he went to Stanford. He's a California kid in a lot of ways. He obviously wants to win a ring.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want the Warriors
to get him.
Well,
then he needs to come to Houston.
Well, Daryl's already, I guess, inquired when there was a chance that he would be set free, that the Rockets have said they've shown interest. But we'll see how that plays out.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want the house thing to be settled. Because he's not Gary Clark, okay?
Well, but that's the problem. I keep telling you, I guarantee you they're gun-shy about doing that because they threw all that money at Clark and then look what happened. He was a bust.
I can see your point, and I can also tell you that what they're really pissed off about is they got pushback. if he would have taken the exact deal they offered him, it would have been a done deal already. But because he pushed back and realizes he has value.
So now it's a game of chicken.
It is. It absolutely is.
That's basically who blinks first.
This is what's ticking me off. Because whether you blame it on Tillman or Daryl, it's an ego thing. And if you can just set it aside and realize for the betterment of the team.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's Daryl.
Okay.
And I know that Harden loves House, and Harden wants him because when they've interviewed him, and Nick, a lot of times it's at practice, but maybe even after the game, they've inquired, and he's like, I'm confident they will get this done, coming from Harden, which is as strong as he can be in basically sending the message of, look, you can do whatever the hell else you're doing, but get this kid back in here because he can help us.
Okay.
So we'll just have to see if they're done or if they're going to make another move or two.
Well, if they add one more piece that fits, whether it be a House or a, you know, I hate to say a stretch four because it's really not that. It's really like a 3-4 hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those, man, I think that's – I mean, I just saw a headline on the front page of the Rockets page on ESPN where – I mean, this doesn't mean much, but Kellerman quotes, Rockets are major title contenders if healthy. I mean, slow down. They'll make a deep playoff run. I don't think they beat the Warriors in a 7-game series.
I don't either. And the right now is that Oklahoma City is who they're saying is the second best team in the West.
Yeah.
I think if the Rockets are healthy.
I think they could beat them.
I think they can too.
I think they could beat everybody. Again, nobody else scares me in the West but the Thunder. But the Warriors.
If healthy, the Rockets roster as currently constructed or better, I think can beat everybody in the West but the Warriors.
Nuggets worry me a little bit.
But again, like we talked about, experience and no superstar, but but Jokic is good.
True. So. Let's take Brandon's call real quick. He wants to talk Rockets as well. Brandon, what's up? What's up, Brandon?
What's going on, fellas?
How's it going, man?
So, Barry, we came and saw you at the joke joint a couple weeks ago. My wife absolutely loved your joke about the FaceTime at the grocery store.
Oh, nice.
And I did it about a week ago, and the whole time I'm FaceTiming her, I'm like, damn it. Damn it. Barry's right. But she works at a machine shop, dude. They can make like some kind of attachment if you got like a trailer hitch on that mower so that you can have a winch on it, but you don't have to worry about the weight. Like, you can take it on and off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, send me a private message on Twitter and I'll hit him up because it does have this little attachment thing with a pin on it that I can, you know, like I can hook up a spreader or I have my aerator that I can hook up and drag around like a little trailer hitch, but it's just a little pin that drops in there. So yeah, I'll hit me up on private message.
Fab Shop can do that. I don't have a Twitter, but I can hit you on Facebook or something.
Okay. Yeah, do that.
So anyway, I was at the bar watching the Rockets and Golden State game, and I'm more of a casual Rockets fan. I'm not deep into them, but my buddy is like a hardcore Rockets fan. Like, he's got a tattoo on his arm and everything.
Oh no.
And he was a little drunk, so I don't know how much fact he has to this, but he said that he believes the Rockets are better without James Harden. And I wanted to know what your guys' thoughts were on that, and I'll just hang up and listen, guys.
Now, I'll tell you this. I thought about being Skip Bayless today. I thought about coming in here
because I would have
and dropping
you.
On you guys. Are the Rockets a better team without James Harden? Because and that would have been the easy way out. But the better way to frame it and position it was, let's go back to what we talked about if the streak wasn't prevalent, and that is what James is doing is fantastic. But for the overall betterment and how far this team can go, they have to play differently between now and the playoffs. But I know that there are going to be people out there that are that's going to be their mantra is going to be that's going to be the narrative of the day. The Rockets are a better team without James Harden because they just beat the Warriors without him. That's one game in the middle of February.
That's right. It's one game middle of February, and you don't take the greatest scorer on the planet and just say that your team wouldn't be better with him. Does he have his deficiencies? Yes. Yep. Does the offense change when he's on the floor versus off? Yes. But at the end of the day, the Rockets wouldn't even be in the position they're in if it weren't for James Harden. He did it by himself.
That's absolutely right.
Once they figure out the chemistry and how to play together, then look out. This is why people are excited, because you see glimpses of it.
Yep, because teams, again, everybody talks about it, but the whole basketball analogy of team means together everyone achieves more. If he just does a little less so that others can do more, you're going to go farther as a team than any individual can carry you. Because in the playoffs in a 7-game series, they're going to scheme for you. They're going to double team you. They're going to find ways to take it out of your hands. And then you're going to be screwed because you got no one else that you've been working with to do the things that they need to do to help it pick up the slack.
Yeah.
There you have that. So we got some Rockets out of the way. And by the way, I don't know where you guys are on all this, but I want to get your opinion real quick. Okay. But we all know that I worked with Craig Ackerman, the voice of the Rockets, on the road, and especially when there's national games.
Great dude.
He's fantastic.
Great
and
dude.
On and off the mic. And he was doing the game the other night, and he put out there what James's injury was. And some smart-ass fan responded, is that code for just calling him a big P word?
Uh-huh.
Meow, meow. And, and Craig's quick response was, you mean like you?
Ooh,
and I was like, oh my God, this is my I'm proud of my son moment. My little Craiger just grew up right in front of my eyes. My little Craiger just decided to do a zinger, and I loved it. And then you get the guy that the guy he said it to responds back, I'll have your boss read this, and I'll have you blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, so you got the big grapes coming in thinking that you're going to drill him with a one-line zinger, and then when he zings you back, now you want
to
go –
screw that hoe. You don't get to take a shot like that thinking that you're untouchable.
That's right.
And then when you get shot back at, then you're going to cry? Man, get off Twitter, hoe.
Those hoes exist, though.
Yeah, that's hoe stuff.
I'll tell your boss.
That's hoe stuff. It really is. You're going to shoot shots, and then when it happens, nah, bro, you get that. That's what you get.
And the bottom line is, Good for Craig. He works for Tad Brown. Tad's going to love every bit of it.
Yeah, good for Craig, man.
Yeah, because Tad goes at ESPN the same way. So the fact of the matter is, Craig stood up to a social media bully, put him in his place, and I loved it.
Good for him.
My little Craiger's getting more an allowance this week. Actually, he should be paying me.
That's what I was wondering why I saw a tweet from him where he was like, oh, it's a good day. I took care of a troll. We got the win, this, that, and the other. Like I was like, troll, what happened? So I'm glad you cleared it up because I didn't want to investigate because I just was like, you never know if you're going to find it and if you follow those. But that's what he was talking about.
Yep.
I like that he also, rather than just handling the troll, then he's like, yeah, I did that.
That's
and
right.
I'm not going to run from it. I did that. I handled it.
And owned it.
This is big boy stuff going on here.
Good no doubt him. About it. Hey, breaking news. We might want to come back from the break just to let you guys know. Someone the Texans may be interested. A pretty decent wide receiver just got let go in the NFL, and maybe it's worth Brian Gain and company kicking the tires. We'll throw that out at you, as well as everything else we've got scheduled for the rest of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Black one third and goal, takes the snap, looking for Crabtree in the end zone. He's got him! Touchdown, Ravens! A back shoulder bullet from Joe Flacco.
That was compliments of WBAL and the Ravens radio network. Well, the Ravens aren't going to be talking about Michael Crabtree unless he's on another team next year, because Adam Schefter is reporting that he is being released today. So if you are a Texans fan, if you are Brian Gain, if you are anyone in that organization going, let's see, what are we going to do opposite of D-Hop? Is Michael Crabtree a guy that maybe a little long in the tooth, still been fairly productive? Is he a guy you consider to put on the opposite side for Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
I would consider it.
I don't see why you wouldn't. Like, it's not the. I mean, it's not going out and getting another number one. A lot of people are like, "Oh, you got to go get Antonio Brown." Nah, you have a one, and you don't need that riff. But you do need a compliment,
right?
You need a complimentary receiver. Those are always good to have. And the one thing I like about him that you're not going to get with a Fuller or a so far QT is durability. I mean, he's played. If you look through, you know, the last couple 4 or 5 years, that you can pretty much count on 15 or 16 games from Michael Crabtree. Even if he's not, but even just, think about this. Like, Demaryius Thomas, look what value he had. He wasn't the same guy he used to be, but he was a possession receiver. He could do a little, you know, he could do a little bit of both. He could take the lid off a little bit. He could, you know, go across the middle. I think that's how he even got hurt. But, I would certainly kick the tires on Michael Crabtree.
And I think he's coming to you at a very much reduced rate compared to the other guys that people's names, you said Antonio Brown. But even if you're going to go to a Golden Tate still showing enough productivity that you saw what he commanded before the trade deadline, a higher pick to try and get a guy like that. He's a free agent. He can also take the top off the defense. He's also very durable, as we've talked about, but he's going to be a little bit higher price tag. So depending on how they want to use the money that we've said, because you still have to allocate whether through the draft or through free agency for the line, if you're going to improve the line at all, and whatever else you're going to do. But yeah, depending on the price tag you want to pay, I think you got veterans out there at a lesser price than Antonio Brown's going to cost you that can definitely upgrade your offense.
The only concerning thing, I think, is when you look at his numbers from last year, he was targeted 100 times and came up with like 54 catches in those 100 targets. That's not great. If you're thrown at 100 times and you're only hauling in 54 of those.
But that was also Joe Flacco's, like,
And Lamar Jackson mixed in with that. So, yeah, I mean, maybe a change of scenery and a different offense and a little more space to work in, because you don't – I mean, it could be – I think it's certainly worth exploring. I don't think that the Texans will actually do it because they've got so many guys coming back that they're hoping can stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, from a fan's perspective, they're throwing out Deshaun Jackson, too. He's still under contract for a year with the Buccaneers, so that would you'd have to make a trade to get that to happen. I just think there are going to be some guys out there kind of in this mold. And again, depending on how much price you want, what the price is you want to pay, there's going to be a couple of guys from a little bit more on the cheap, a little older Crabtree, to a guy that's still productive, that maybe will be a little bit more expensive in Golden Tate, but you'll have some options if you, one, don't know how healthy Fuller is going to be, first and foremost.
Right.
And from that standpoint, Kiki Kuti, too, because, God, the guy was productive when he was on the field, but dang it, you couldn't get him on the field.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that as the second wide receiver position is something that they address in this offseason. Because we are definitely in the offseason now, and we're getting closer to that point where you can start making trades and we can start dealing with the new season.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a fun time. The combine coming up as well. So we know Lance Zierlein is going to be.
Watch the combine?
Never have watched it in my life.
You don't even watch Rich Eisen?
I was going to say that's the only thing I'm interested in is when they do that kind of 3D as they take every frame of when he was running all 40 yards, and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
In his suit?
In his suit was better, and the dress shoes was more fun.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want him to like get injured, but it would be kind of funny if he like, strained an MCL.
We're going to do a show combine, let you take on the interns?
You're sure you'll be able to?
No, not me.
Perform.
Let you
notice how he worded that, Nick.
Let you
against the interns.
Take on the intern.
I'll take any one of those interns on.
You think so? You think you can beat them in a combine?
Like which? Like who's going to beat me? Like who? Intern Trey?
Well, like no. Radu's favorite Jefferson's character is Wheezy. I mean, he's not going to be doing anything cardio where he's going to be.
Who's the intern that's out there right now?
I don't know. I didn't see one. Radu was
here.
Oh,
it's Radu. Yeah,
Radu was out there.
Yeah, but he smokes like five packs of cigarettes a day. Yeah. He ain't going to beat me in no combine.
No, right. Yeah, Radu's.
That's what I said.
He's genetically he's, you know, he's skinny, but he's so out of shape.
He looks like he weighs 35 pounds.
Yeah, he does. He's got like that bloated belly, like he's doesn't eat.
Trey's a beast on the bench press.
Is he?
He can knock a couple of reps out for you.
Of?
I don't know. Soup cans? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be worried about Trey on the
That's the thing, bench. Which is always interesting. When they do the bench thing, it's how many reps at 225. So it doesn't matter what you max. You got to do reps at 225. That's the for the NFL combine. Some of these dudes doing 36 reps
That's
at
crazy.
225.
That's
and you're
insane.
Like, oh,
That's
my
a lot.
God, the endurance.
Maybe intern Travis. Remember that, what was he, like 6'7"?
Oh, the big kid that played college. Yeah, at Hardin-Simmons.
Yep, that's what it was.
Yeah. That kid was strong.
I was trying to get him to beat up Barry, but he wouldn't do it. He's like, nope, I'm not a bully. He was like a really nice guy.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, you could see him and...
He was getting bullied, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He told the story.
Do remember that.
6'8". See him against the Green Mile.
Just let you know, man. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Oh, my God. Don't you ever repeat that. You know what? You know what you get for that?
What do I get for that? Nothing. Oh, are you going to play?
I was going to.
Barry T. Lombardi over here giving the speech.
That's right. Now go out there and win one. By the way, Andy Huggins had the best Robert Kraft joke I've seen so far. And mine even got a little bit of run. Like, I got some good play out of my joke, but Andy had the best Robert Kraft visiting a whorehouse joke I've seen so far. He said next year's slogan for the New England Patriots, win one for the zipper.
It's pretty good.
It's so good. Yeah. I love Andy Huggins.
Very good.
Absolutely amazing, man.
That's why he's good at...
That's a good joke writer right there, boy.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it really is.
From our Charles Barkley interview on Friday, too, a lot of people missed it initially when he told the joke. But Charles gotten a lot of love on his joke on Jussie Smollett and Liam Nielsen.
That joke killed.
People got to check out that interview that we did with Charles Barkley on Audio Boom and on Podcast Arena, ESPN975.com.
Yeah.
SportsMap.
SportsMap's got it. I retweeted it before the show.
Actually, that's where you should go. You should go to SportsMap and check that out.
Yeah. Check it out on SportsMap.
And you'll enjoy it, and make sure you give props to Joel for making that happen.
No, that was...
Because that does not happen without him.
But
and
that
it
was our combined effort. We had great questions.
Fantastic interview on Barkley's part, and man, you made that happen, so...
I don't give credit to anybody, so...
Right. You don't get credit either for anything.
That's not how
it would
work.
Require you to do something.
I do a lot.
You do nothing.
We don't go to the well very often on him because he's busy, but we can tell you that every couple of months we'll get him in.
So we're going to be at Prime Social, and I'm going to actually be the one engineering the show. So
what?
On Friday.
That just shows the skills, the diverse skill set that I have.
Hold on. So you're going to be on remote with us.
Yep.
Oh, you better be on time.
I'm going to be way more annoying.
Oh, you better be on time. He brings up a good point.
Your ass better be on time.
You better be on time.
Why?
I don't want none of this 5 minutes before the show starts. When I show up, everything better be ready.
I mean, it's not like the show starts at 7.
I don't care.
That's what I was late for.
Whatever. I don't trust you. You better be there.
AJ almost head kicked me, so I'm not going to be late.
Did he?
Yeah, he almost.
Okay, he got mad at me for being late. Yeah.
Head kicked you.
Huh. Yeah.
So we're about the midway point of the show. Did you guys watch the Oscars?
Nope. No.
Okay. Because there's a lot of conversation going on about it. I will tell you this. Regardless of if your favorite movie and or actor or actress won or lost, I found out the price tag on what it costs to put on the Oscars. Good Lord,
really?
Man. The money, we can get into that a little bit. That's crazy. And we've got the second half of the show, so don't go anywhere. Coming up, we'll be back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the second half of the show. Hey, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday on The Usual Suspects. Got a whole bunch in the first half of the show, but a whole bunch more to get to as we continue to roll on. The Oscars were last night. You guys said you didn't watch. I had it on, and you know me in movies. I'm so just dialed
you
into every film
like
that comes
on
out.
It. What was your favorite movie that you saw from the Oscars?
How much time you got? You got a couple hours. I might be able to get one in. No, you know what? I haven't seen that much, but I was looking at, you know, I'm sitting there looking at the stage, almost like the hand painted stage, and all the different things, and how many people go crazy over every little detail. So I looked it up. The total cost of that ceremony last night, $44 million.
That's ridiculous,
isn't it though? Right? And then on top of that, like, I saw Dick Vitale and other people tweeting that they were at a watch party in Beverly Hills that had nothing to do with its own red carpet and its own, like, celeb list and everything like that. And it's like, and that's not even associated with the actual
Oscars.
That is
just stupid. $44 million. And then these people in Hollywood, this is what's crazy, is $44 million. And then people in Hollywood are going to get on that stage and use that platform to say we need to do stuff for homeless people and starving kids. But we'll go ahead and spend $44 million wasting money on a dumbass award show. That kind of stuff rings hollow with me. It's like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say.
I'm about to go off.
And then the other thing is, when you
tangent.
Talk about the $44 million, Nick, what's the guy, the name that
Rami
played?
Malek.
Rami Malek, who played Freddie Mercury and won Best Actor. He fell off that stage.
Saw
so
that.
You got to probably give another $44 million for what he could sue them for if he wanted to, because he fell off the damn stage.
Was there video of him falling off?
There's pictures right after he fell off, because as he went down, he held the statue so it didn't get dented up.
But I wanted video. I wanted to see him bust his ass. I wanted that to be a GIF somewhere someday.
Snap a tooth.
Yeah.
If you hit it the wrong
way. Did they get him out with a come up long?
That's the best.
All right, girl, you shut your mouth.
Best part of the show. The best part of the show.
I hate you.
Just the red carpet.
You need
to
get along. What?
Just the red carpet, right?
Yeah.
Just the red carpet itself.
Nothing else. The actual carpet.
Just the actual carpet. You know how much it cost?
What?
16,500 square foot carpeting. $24,000 plus.
That is
just
stupid.
For the carpeting.
They spent $25,000 on carpet. Red carpet.
Almost $25,000 on carpet. You know how many hours it takes to install that red carpet? And this
no.
is ridiculous. 900 hours of manpower to install the red carpet.
Don't you just roll
18
it?
Workers. That's what I thought. Fasten it down a little bit.
Just roll it. You don't even need to fasten it down. That's stupid.
Isn't that nuts?
Anything involved with celebrities, athletes, there's just always an absolute waste of money. Yeah, they do a lot of good and they help the homeless and stuff like that, but they just do things that waste a lot of money. It's just
that's
the way it
ridiculous.
Is. I mean, basketball players sometimes replace their shoes every day, some once a week, right?
Yeah, but guys like Shaq give his shoes to kids with big feet that have a hard time finding and affording shoes.
Yeah.
Did you know about that?
Yeah, I'm sure, but
like,
that's still
no,
kind of
a
weight.
Kid that Shaq had found that had like the same size feet as Shaq, a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they couldn't afford to buy this kid shoes, so he would give him his old shoes.
Yeah, that's great.
Like his game worn shoes after he would wear them once.
Right.
It's crazy.
We did the same
great.
Thing. We found a lot of kids when I was working for the Rockets, a lot of kids that couldn't find and afford the shoes.
Right.
And a friend of the show is our man, Tony Nyla. And Dikembe Mutombo made a lot of people aware of the fact that, you know, these players get all these shoes. And at the end of the year, they still have a ton of them that they don't use. And especially in big sizes, not many people can go, well, I can use those. And he was sending them over to Africa. And he was trying to find different ways that he could put them to good
nice.
Usage. Then they started finding all these kids here that couldn't afford shoes. And they found a way to donate and also find places so that parents could help out their kids, because these kids want to play and they can't afford the tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, I've told the story before about me being a production assistant on American Idol, and I remember they shipped like all the soda and water for the judges, right? But the judges were like, no, we want smart water. And smart water was kind of a thing back then. So they had like cases and cases and cases of all this Dasani water. Then they ended up buying all these cases and cases and cases of smart water. And they barely put a dent in it.
That's
and what
ridiculous.
Did they do? They took all that water, which was kind of, I mean, they overspent, obviously, and they donated it. They gave it to some of the employees, and the rest, they gave it to the homeless.
Oh, that's cool. That's
so
good.
I mean, there's always overspending when it comes down to stuff like that, I feel like.
Yeah, but $25,000 on a carpet?
Yeah.
Stupid.
So to put a bow on this,
you know how many coats
guys?
That would buy for homeless people to stay warm in the winter?
So what would you want to put down there? It's the red carpet.
Just walk in.
Put some AstroTurf down. I don't know. It's got to be cheaper.
I mean, I don't know.
So just to put a bow on it, the average female's wardrobe and attire.
Let me guess.
Go ahead.
$5,000.
$10 million.
What?
$10 million.
You said average, though.
Average, what? Right? So I'm sorry. For an A-list actress at the Oscars, her ensemble, average, $10 million. For the average attendee who's going to the affair, $1.5 million. A first-timer, $266,000.
That makes more sense. I thought you were spending $10 million on one outfit. Is what
they are.
About.
But this is the jewelry and everything else. Now, the one thing that you don't factor in is most jewelers, just to get exposure for their jewelry, give these ladies millions of dollars of jewels that they have to wear that they're almost basically on consignment. And then someone's there to take it right after the event.
I can't even wrap my mind. That's why I was like, $5,000 is a lot of money to spend on a tux or a dress or whatever. I can't even wrap my mind around somebody spending $1.5 million or $10 million or whatever these numbers are. That is just absolutely stupid.
So the Oscar committee spent $300,000 mailing watermarked screeners to voters.
God.
To the ballots. L.A. ends up making $130 million economically on a boost from the Oscars. Two tickets to the Vanity Fair party, which they say is the best party to attend. Two tickets. $103,000.
Get out of here. This is ridiculous.
Isn't that nuts?
It's insane. Speaking of that, by the way, did you see over the weekend, it was Steve Irwin's birthday? I don't know if it was his birthday or the...
Oh, the alligator?
Yeah, the crocodile hunter.
Crocodile hunter, yeah.
I don't know if it was his birthday or the anniversary of his passing, but Google put a... You know, they have the Google Doodle.
It was his birthday.
The Google Doodle, where they have like... Whatever's relevant that day, they'll do a drawing on the front page of Google, and you can click on it and get more information. Well, they did one in honor of Steve Irwin. And then PETA's stupid ass goes out and tweets about it and says, like, these horrible things about Steve Irwin and how he's not – he wasn't good for animals and how he's, you know, bad and how – and it was just like – I tell you what, PETA is borderline a terrorist organization as it is. They are borderline terrorists. The way that they, some of the things that they do, I am not being over the top here. Go look at some of the stuff that they do. Do you realize somebody said that PETA in their town, they were I don't know who it was, like what town it was, but it was along the Missouri River where PETA said, "Oh, we don't want these lobsters to die." So they go to this like restaurant or whatever it was that had all these lobsters. They bought them all. And then released them into the Missouri River where every lobster died because it was fresh water. Stupid ass PETA.
Oh, so they murdered the lobster.
Yes.
And they scream.
And they have all these mercy killings and all this. Man, PETA is, I'm telling you.
Dude, they stay relevant now more so with this kind of crap?
This is what they said. Steve Irwin was killed while harassing a ray. He dangled his baby. Where'd it go? He dangled his baby while feeding a crocodile and wrestled while animals who were minding their own business. Today, Google Doodle sends a dangerous, fawning message. Wild animals are entitled to be left alone in their natural habitat. Look, I can agree with you that maybe don't mess with all animals, but what he's doing is educating people. And if you really knew about Steve Irwin and his love of animals, there would be no question. There would, just because he doesn't do it the way you think he should do it, don't dare question a man who dedicated his life to the preservation of animals. I mean, there was a video I saw where he talked about he spends every single dime he has to buy land so that it's never touched so that animals can live on it. Every single dime. He dedicated his life to it. His family does it. And then you're going to talk mess about him, and he's dead. I tell you what, man. PETA, of organizations.
I remember.
It goes ISIS, PETA.
You remember the last thing that they got involved
that
in?
That order. That big, is close.
Big boy's jacket during
stupid
the Super Bowl.
Stupid ass PETA.
That was their last.
I want to get some dumbass from PETA to call this show just so I can scream at
him. It's a sensitive subject because you preserve your bobcats and you wouldn't want anything to happen to him.
I don't have bobcats.
So I get
But
it.
Here's
I get
the thing.
It.
But I love animals.
And he
I,
needs a bobcat if he wants to get that thing stuck out of the mud.
That's a good point. What kind of bobcat
that's
are we talking
right.
about? No, I love animals. And I don't want to see harm come to animals. But there's got to be some reality involved if you're going to do this stuff, PETA. Like, you just can't go and just badmouth a dead man because you feel like it. Like, if you showed half as much compassion for a human as you do an animal, maybe more people would pay attention to you idiots.
Well, they're getting attention. Like I said, their last social media experience or their public outcry was when Big Boy wore the fur coat at the Super Bowl halftime. Well, they went after him for that, too. So they're out there. I did tell you this. I won't say who it was, but someone on PETA's board once petitioned the NBA to stop playing with leather basketballs.
God, go to hell, PETA.
But that's what you should have done. You should have just strapped three or four of your pet bobcats that mower. You would have been able to pull it right out. You wouldn't need a winch or anything.
I don't know why I even talked to you.
I'm just saying. I don't know. Consider it.
I don't know why I even bother
with
ninjas,
and they spread out, and they can like grab the trees and pull the lawnmower out. And
I don't know why I bother. I'm going to have to go take out my stress on you guys that I have built up with you guys at Vortex. That's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to go to Vortex and punch the bag because you guys cause me a lot of stress. And it's a great – if you haven't been to Vortex, guys – it is an outstanding workout. What are you waiting for? We had some of their athletes in last week to talk about Vortex and boxing and how good of a workout it is and how it's a full body workout. They told you what they do there. Man, it is a legitimate full body 45 minute badass workout. And you know what? You're not sitting around waiting on some nasty sweaty dude to get done working out on the bench and he doesn't wipe it down and they're taking selfies and not re-racking weights. You're in and out in 45 minutes. That's the beautiful thing about Vortex. You show up, put your stuff in your locker room, you're ready to go. If you don't even need gloves, they have gloves for you. You don't even need hand wraps. They're there. You don't need shoes for the bikes if you're going to take the ride classes. You get in there, you take the boxing class, you take the spin class, and you're out in 45 minutes. You got a great workout. You can grab you a smoothie on the way out because they have a smoothie bar right there. It's located on West Gray, by the way, so it's really not even that hard to get to. 1707 West Gray. You're in, you're out. Plenty of parking. And I like the workouts because I don't have to worry about it. They're going to push me because I'll give up. I got a lot of quit in me. And they don't let me. Like Trey, the boxing guy that I take my classes from, man, he keeps me going. And he motivates you, and you're going to get a great workout. They have a special right now. For $40, you can get unlimited classes for 1 week. I want you to check that out. Give them a call, 281-501-3094. 281-501-3094. Ask them about that $40 for unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week so you can figure out how you want to work that. And then get started at Vortex, man. It's a great workout. I promise you, you're going to get fit and get in shape. It's VortexTexas.com, VortexTexas.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Knee-deep in hour number two, three-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, having fun on a Monday. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's the Gal Media Studios right here in the Galleria. We were talking about the Oscars. By the way, I was going to tell you, because it's just amazingly ridiculous the amount of money spent. But if anything, the goodie bag is worth it at the Oscars. The average cost of the goodie bag, you get $150,000 worth of stuff.
Damn.
Last year, the most expensive item you got in there was a luxury trip to Tanzania worth $40,000.
That's dope.
Everyone gets it?
And stupid.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Give him a couple of muffins and a koozie.
Yeah, I mean, just a bottle of water.
Yeah. $150,000?
It's crazy.
Jeez. That is nuts. Speaking of nuts, you see this story?
Robert Kraft. Oh, no, what? Too. No.
See this story coming out of Ole Miss?
Crazy.
Isn't it?
I mean, I don't know crazy. I think the part that bothered me was when I read the fact that their coach – who Kermit Davis came out and, you know, he explained what the kids were doing. So if you don't know the kids, there were at the anthem at the Ole Miss game, several students took a knee during the anthem and obviously it caused a big stir.
Six players.
Was it six? I thought it was nine.
Six players at the start of the anthem and then three joined before it was over.
Okay, so that's what it was. So they basically were doing that. Davis said this was, quote, this was all about the hate groups that came to our community. They came to try to spread racism and bigotry. It's created a lot of tension for our campus. I think our players made an emotional decision to show these people they're not welcome on our campus. We respect our players' freedom and ability to choose that. The problem with that statement is, as I was reading an article about Kermit Davis, is about, I don't know, 11, 12 months ago, he came out and said, quote, we're going to be a team that respects the flag and national anthem. And he basically said that they weren't going to kneel and that they would not be doing that. So I think it's you got to pick a side here, Mr. Well, Davis. Like you can't sit there and say, oh, no, our team's not doing that. And then when they do it, you're like, well, they had a valid reason. Now you're everybody has a valid reason for doing it. You may not agree with it, you may not like it, but for them, it's valid. And that's, I mean, you kind of have to respect that.
I like,
or just hold your ground.
Because from a player's perspective, everything that they did, I give them credit for, including the fact that one of the main players that got this movement started to kneel made sure he tweeted out to the people that fight for this country, my teammates and I meant no disrespect to everything that you do for us, but we had to take a stand to the negative things that went on today on our campus, hashtag we need change. So they knew the first level of backlash was coming, and it was going to be disrespecting the flag and the military and all of that, and they were out in front of it. So from a player's perspective, and if you are dealing with this kind of stuff on your campus, and it was a, I don't know if it was a national thing, it was a regional TV game, they were just, you know, obviously the anthem is where you're going to get the most run right now in terms of attention. But at least the players were very organized and they thought out what they were going to do. And they were very quick to make sure the word got out so that people weren't guessing like what's going on. But I did not know that about the coach.
Yeah, the coach had come out and said that about a year ago or 11 months ago or something like that. And I think, one, if you're going to say it, just stand by it. Just stand by it then. But also, you kind of got to give him credit that maybe he recognized he thought, okay, you know what? Maybe that wasn't the right stance. If these kids are passionate about that and they want to show that maybe this is the right time to do it and maybe I was wrong. So it's just, it seems kind of wishy-washy. But I mean, if he's changed his mind, that's his prerogative to do so. I would be curious though to see how many people come out and attack these kids or have negative things to say about it. Because like you said, they got out in front of it and said, look, this is not to disrespect the people that have fought for this flag. This is to bring attention to the fact that on our campus right now, there are these groups that are spreading a message of hate and racism, and we want to bring attention to that. And that's exactly what they've done.
Now, you know the out for Coach Davis is, right? He's saying, well, I didn't know about it beforehand. I didn't know they were going to do it till after they did it. So you know right away, if anybody brings up his past statements, he's going to be like, well, I didn't know about it. The guys just went ahead and did it. And, you know, so I'm just reacting just like everybody else. But at least he supported the kids, because he could have been that guy that once it all went down and no matter what the kids were saying, he could have been, you know, this is not what we stand for. And these guys are going to face discipline from me for this and blah, 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 blah. But I think also he kind of gauged how the people, how it was received, and it seemed like from a campus perspective, from a town perspective, there were a lot of people in support of this.
Well, and I think it's, you know, I think at the end of the day, I hate to be like this, but I'm glad that he was able to change his mind and support his players, because I think initially it shows some nearsightedness on his part.
But again,
just to be like, no, we're not going to do that. Well, again, if the intention is right, then what's the problem? Because that's what he's showing now. Does that make sense?
It does. But and here's what I would say as well: if he changed because of he realized he was wrong in his ways, that's one thing.
Right.
If he changed because he saw the reaction that the kids were getting and the town was reacting to, and he did it just to fit in and be.
Exactly.
That would be a problem.
I would have liked to have him come out and say along with it, hey, this kids did this. And I know 11 months ago I said we're not going to do that, but you know what? This was the right thing to do. This is the right message to send, and I support my kids. And I would have liked to have heard something like that. But the fact that he had his kids back, I do respect that.
And I'll give you
this. That's good for him.
Here's another thing, and it might poke holes in his hole. I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
But athletic director of Ole Miss, Ross Bjork, came out and said, the people that come here, they spill hate, bigotry, and racism. We don't want them on our campus. Our players stood up for that. It had nothing to do with the anthem. It had nothing to do with anything beyond. We don't want those people here. They're protesting during our games, and that's not right because that's not the Ole Miss I know. We talked to them about it in the locker room. We support them because we don't want those people here either. The university doesn't want them. Our town doesn't want them. They're out of state. They're not from here. So good for the players to stand up and make a statement. All great. And the athletic director supporting the kids, I love. But it sure does poke holes in Coach Davis's theory.
Yeah. Sounds like he's being a little wishy-washy. He's on the fence a little bit.
Well, if I want an extension, I think I know which side of the fence I'm on.
I think it's what's going to also be interesting is to see people, because there are going to be people out there. I mean, hell, we probably have some texts already about it or some tweets as well where, doesn't matter. You're supposed to stand. Well, that's your opinion, but there's going to be people that have a problem with it. Even though the message and the intent, the message out front was, this is not in direct disrespect of anyone that has served our country and fought for that flag. This is to call attention. So it's like, people are always going to have a problem with it. No matter what you do, there's going to be people that find an issue with it. A small percentage of those, and I'm going to probably catch some heat for what I'm about to say, some of those people that will have an issue with it deep down probably support more about the people that were on campus spreading the hate than really support the flag.
Yeah.
And then if we're just being real and we're being honest about it, there's some people out there, some racist folks that are going to have an issue and use the flag and the military and patriotism as a cover for their racism. Send your hate to 713-780-3776. I'll be glad to read it.
I'll tell you this, because I watched on Twitter last night, even with the Oscar stuff, some people had a little bit of a political speech in their back pocket that they brought out.
Yeah.
People that you would never have guessed or seen came out of the woodwork to show their almost racist responses, going, I'm turning this off now, and just blasting away and then making comments about who it actually was. And I was like, God, I never would have guessed.
Yeah.
So
that's wild.
Yeah. You can bring light to things, but sometimes it's the people hiding in the dark that you had no idea, if that makes sense. All right, we've got two in the books. We've got 1 hour still to go. That means 60 minutes of the show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. All right.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.